always sends messengers to warn people about coming judgments on the earth. I showed you how he sent Noah to warn the world of the need to repent and turn their heart to God, or he would destroy man with the earth, which he did. They did not repent. I showed you how he sent Jonah to the city of Nineveh. They had reached such a state of sinfulness and their hearts were so corrupt before God that God deemed it necessary to destroy them if they would not repent. Jonah finally went, after much consternation, with a whale and preached to the people of Nineveh, and they repented, and there was no judgment. God used Lot as a witness to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were warned repeatedly of their wickedness and that their hearts needed to turn to God, but their hearts turned away from God and they did not repent. And because there was no repentance, there was judgment. He destroyed them with fire and brimstone. In the days of Noah, he destroyed man with the water. God indicated in the last days he would send a man who would preach in the spirit and power of Elijah, with the same Holy Spirit that Elijah preached. And the man would warn people, and if they would turn their hearts, there would be no curse. So he sent John the Baptist, who preached in the spirit of Elijah. And John the Baptist and Jesus both preached the same message: repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Jews, the nation of Israel, their hearts were hard, cold, indifferent. They would not turn. As a result, there was judgment. The nation was destroyed, dispersed, not completely destroyed, but certainly dispersed as a nation. Came not to exist as a nation anymore. Judgment came because they did not repent. Their hearts did not turn to God. Finally, God sent a message through his church by the Spirit of Christ that indwelt the man who wrote the New Testament. A message of the need to return to God, to repent. The Gentiles received the message, and many hearts were turned and many hearts repented. And so there was no judgment. But God indicated that his Holy Spirit came into the world to convict of sin, of the lack of righteousness, and of judgment to come. In these last days, the message, the gospel, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is being rejected almost totally by the hearts of men, and the message is being corrupted into something that is no longer the gospel, but is a sideshow, not designed to lead men's hearts to repentance, but to make men's hearts feel good about everything, and to make themselves satisfied that their own judgments are correct. God indicated he was going to send two witnesses in the last days. And those two witnesses would once again warn the world of the need to repent. But there was an indication they would not repent. The world will not repent, and soon a judgment is coming upon this earth, of fire and brimstone, of a terrifying, unbelievable holocaust like the world has never seen. And it's because men's hearts will not repent. In Malachi 4, 5, and 6, we are told, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Jesus clearly identified John as the Elijah of all who had ears to hear and would receive his message. John the Baptist was my Elijah because I believe his message. I believe what he preached about the coming Messiah. And I believe the same message was preached by Jesus, and I believe it. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God sent men always to warn in advance. He sent John to warn this generation. The Jews would not listen. They would not repent. And they were destroyed as a nation, dispersed as a nation. Their capital city, Jerusalem, was leveled. But because the Gentiles heard the message of John, because they heard the message of Jesus, because they believed the message the Holy Spirit sent out through the church and through his word, they were saved. Many were saved, and many hearts were turned. And so there was no judgment. It has been postponed for 2,000 years. But that judgment is coming because men's hearts no longer listen to God's word. Here is the message we are told that this man would have that would cause God not to smite the earth with a curse. We're clearly told in Scripture that man was John the Baptist, for those who would receive it, for those who would hear it. So in Malachi 4 and 6, he says concerning this man who was going to warn of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 5, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That dreadful day is coming. But it has not come for 2,000 years. Why? What was John supposed to do? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We all trust prolifically in our judgments. We all have our own opinions, and some of us have them so set in our hearts and in clay, even in stone, that we will not listen to what God says. We will not change our opinions to go along with what God indicates in the Word. We preset our hearts before we approach the Word of God, and if God doesn't go along with us, we twist what He says to fit our own preconceived ideas. God told why He was sending John. He said in the last part of verse 6, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Well, He didn't smite the earth with a curse because the Gentiles, by and large, in their hearts repented. And the gospel spread across the earth, and many true churches were born. Unfortunately, many false churches were also born. And unfortunately, many true churches became false churches because they would not follow the faith once delivered to the saints. I want you to notice something about the heart. This is what God says. You say, well, I don't believe it. That's the problem today. That's the problem with our society. Hearts aren't being born again. Christ isn't being allowed to enter hearts. Christ isn't being allowed to change hearts. Hearts aren't being turned to God because the spirit of God's message is being rejected. And because it's being rejected, the hearts aren't being turned. They aren't being changed. They aren't being born again. That's why we have what we have going on in our society. That's why the moral character of this country and this society and this world has gone downhill ever since the turn of this century. The Great Depression, bo-do-do-de-o-do. Everybody was happy. The great society was flourishing. Employment was down. Lowest levels, unemployment. The economy was booming. Inflation had dropped to practically nothing. Everybody was making money on the stock market. The society was in its greatest period of material prosperity. Then, boom, judgment came. Man's heart loves money. It has a natural love for money. It has a natural love for the things that money can buy. And many of us have the ability to shuffle this off onto other people and never look at our own hearts, but all our hearts, when we came into this world, were that way. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The next verse indicates only God can know it. Only God can search it. We don't even know our own hearts, and that's the problem. Even after we're saved, we tend to want to still have our own opinions, our own beliefs, our own ideas of what God wants in our lives, and we twist God's word around to make it fit what we have as a preconceived idea of what we ought to be doing for God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's a fact. Why are we having all these killings? Why are school kids now mowing down other school kids? Why have we had so many recent eruptions in our society of kids with guns going out and killing other kids? Why have we had so much perversion in our society of fathers abusing their children, mothers abusing their children, children killing their parents? Why has this ungodliness happened? What is the reason? The reason is right there on that screen. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You've got to have a born-again heart. You've got to have the Spirit of Christ in your heart. And you've got to be letting this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And you've got to want things to be God's way in your heart and life. And you've got to direct your children towards God's way. And you've got to be more concerned about the spiritual welfare of your children than you are their physical or material welfare. Because where they end up for all eternity, parent, is much more important than how prosperous they become in this life. And the reason we have this society the way it is today is because of the condition of the heart. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's not talking about being a buddy to your son. That's not talking about being a pal to your daughter. It's not talking about being a good guy to your children. Should you be a good guy to your children? Yeah. Should you be a buddy to your son? Yeah. Should you love your children and take time and spend with them? Certainly. Should you take up time with your children? Yes. Should you show your love for them? Should they think that you are a good father who cares about their material and physical welfare? Absolutely. But not at the expense of making the mistake of concentrating on what ought to be the most important thing in your life, a change of your heart. And the most important thing in their lives, changes in their heart. And we have turned into a materialistic society where the spiritual welfare and future of our children is so far a distant second to their material and physical welfare and prosperity that we have become a nation of degenerates whose hearts are killing one another. The only good father is a father whose heart is turned toward God and who tries to turn his children toward God. The only good mother is a mother whose heart is turned toward God and tries to turn the hearts of the children toward God. But that is not believed anymore today, and it is rejected by many children. It is rejected by many parents. Mark 7, 21, 23. So why do we have all this in society today? Why has our society gone to hell in a handbasket? Why has this degeneration occurred? Mark 7, 21 through 23. Far from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. You say, well, I don't particularly agree with that. That's God's word. Jeremiah 17 and 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's God's word. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Why is God going to send judgment on this earth? Why are we going to have this terrible tribulation period? Why is all hell going to break loose on the earth? Far from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. Why is this happening? Because there has not been a turning of the hearts toward God. There has not been a heart transformation by the power of God in our lives and in our hearts. And even when we are born again, even when we do know Christ, we still tend to go after the things of the world and put our major emphasis on that when we neglect the future that is for all eternity and settle for whatever we can get down here and teach our children to settle for that, and we are not teaching our children spiritual things. So where does all this come from? Far from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murder. You like to read the newspaper headlines? Look at verse 22. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. That's where it all comes from. There is only one solution. Your heart has to change. And the only one who can change it is God. And the way he has decided to change it is through your faith in Jesus Christ. And after you have exercised faith in Christ and come to know him as Savior, to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Start learning the things of God. Start learning spiritual things. Start understanding how much more important spiritual things are than physical and material things for your children. And teach those precepts and concepts to your children if they will listen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's where what God says comes out of man's heart. And instead of teaching our children spiritual things, and instead of seeking for their hearts to be transformed into things that please God, we give them all this, and we think that if we are kind to them in giving them all that they want, that this is going to cause them to love us and grow up to be basically good children. No, they will not grow up to be basically good children, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the love of money is the root of all evil. Notice where all these things come from. Mark 7, 21 through 23. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God set down a pattern and established a way to raise children. If you don't punish your children when they do wrong, if you just keep on telling them and never do anything about it, and you mollycoddle them, and you say, well, she's basically a good girl, he's basically a good boy, and you don't love those kids, you hate them, because they're going to grow up to be monsters. And it's because you didn't do what God said. You didn't do it God's way. You weren't interested in their spiritual growth. You were just interested in those kids growing up and liking you, getting out of the house where they didn't have to bother you anymore. But the truth is, once they get out of your house, they're never going to get out of your house, and they're going to bother you for the rest of your life because their hearts are not right with God. And the reason that their hearts aren't right with God is because the parents, the father's hearts, weren't right from God, and they didn't raise them right in the first place. But that's spilt milk. The question is, what do you intend to do now? How do you intend to change? I assure you, I didn't know this when I was young. I wish to God I had. But now that I'm old, I'm at least showing it to you before I die. What is the problem? Where does all evil come from? 1 Timothy 6:10. Remember, God sent John the Baptist. And God sent his son with the same message. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was to be a change of heart in those who heard it. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. It's been held off for 2,000 years. It's not going to be held off much longer. Because you see what the world is like today. For within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lascivious, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Now look at 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It's a materialistic society. Now, are you mad at me right now? Are you irritated right now? Is this getting through to you where you say, well, he just does this, says that? No, look. Do you want a man who preaches the word? You want a man who preaches the truth to you? Do you want to face it the way it is? Or do you want to continue to love through life, doing things your way, rather than God's way? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted it, after they have erred from the faith, a system of teaching and doctrine, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Our church roll is loaded with people who love money more than they love God. And the things that you can buy with money are the things of the world that draw your hearts away from God, change your way of thinking, and cause you not to let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who was a man who was continually aware of this particular fact that he stated to his father and mother when they came for him at Jerusalem after he had been reasoning with the doctors. He said, "Wish ye not that I be about my father's business." A heart that's turned toward God, such an example before his children of being about the Father's business, not about the world's business, not about anything else, but first in his heart and life, before that child, he sets forth an example that he is being about his Father's business. I don't claim to do a good job of that, but I'm 66 now, and I'm going to die before long. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I wish I had learned it when I was a young man. I wish when I was a young man I had set forth before my children an example of a man who put forth first his father's business. He said, "Wish ye not that I be about my father's business?" But all I can do now at age 66 is tell you, and all I can do is tell my children, "Children, be about your father's business. Don't make the mistake I made. Don't raise your children like I raised my children. I didn't learn what this was all about until I was an old man. Whose fault is that?" It's mine. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't you make the same mistake. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, always piling up, always wanting more, always wanting the next new pleasure, always wanting the things the world has to offer, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We have many people on our church roll now that are divorced, separated, their children torn between them, all sorts of terrible problems in the family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows because they wouldn't put God first. And parents that don't raise their children properly, they cause their own lives to be pierced through with sorrows, and the children's lives are pierced through with sorrows, and it's all because they didn't have a change of heart by the power of God's Spirit. They would not listen to the message that John and Jesus preached, and even if they did and were saved, they would not teach their children spiritual things. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you may run me off from this church, but you're going to run me off preaching the truth. Because if there ever was a time that you needed to face it and I need to face it, we all need to face it, it's now. This has nothing to do with personalities. It has nothing to do with family relationships. It has nothing to do with a good buddy system we have between one another. This is the Word of God. And it's something that we need to listen to and something that I need to listen to. But thou, O man of God, 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. For the love of money is the root of all evil. You know what caused these evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness? When the hearts of the men and women of this country turn from the living God to a materialistic society and now elect presidents not based on moral fortitude or moral conduct or moral activity, but based on whether or not they can improve the economy and give us a chicken in every pot and two cars in every garage. And now we vote for our elected leaders based on how much material prosperity they can bring into us and how much better they can make our jobs and how much easier they can make our material and physical lives, and we don't give a rip about their own personal character and conduct. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's why the society is this way. You say, Brother Michael Murray, that's just your opinion. That is not my opinion. Look at what God's Word says. This is what happens when people's hearts aren't changed, when people aren't transformed inside, when Christ isn't the leading ruler in their life, when Christ isn't sitting on the throne of their heart and directing their lives. This is what happens to a society. This is what we need to teach our children. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee away from these evil things and follow after righteousness. Teach your children the importance of living a set apart, a righteous life for Christ. Godliness. Teach your children they need to learn to worship God the correct way. Euscharistoi. Worship rightly directed. Teach them that they need to be in the right place at the right time serving God. Faith. Teach them about faith. Follow after growing faith in Christ. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Follow after these things. Love, the greatest of all that bonds things together. Patience, endurance. Teach your children they need to be faithful in God's church. Teach them that's the most important thing in life, to be faithful in Christ's body. Set the example for them. Don't pay any attention to me as a man. Don't let your own personal opinions of me, whether it's through a relationship that's by blood or by friendship, don't pay any attention to me. Get by me and look at the Word of God and realize what He says you're supposed to follow after as a father and as a parent and as a child. Godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Not a proud, haughty, arrogant attitude, buckling against everything that's preached and taught, but a heart that is resilient and willing to receive the Word of God. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Why should you do this? Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's like a root that grows out of our heart. It produces a tree. And as it produces the tree, the fruits of that tree are evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If this is what your life is right here, may I remind you the Lord said, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. May I remind you that this all passes away. May I remind you that all these things that control the thoughts of your heart, that control your lifestyle, that control what you do, when you do, how you do, and the way you do it, are all tied to this world and they will all pass away. And if your treasure is in the things that you can have and find on this earth by your own efforts and endeavors, and you spend your whole life just seeking those things, God knows where your heart is. Your heart is not with Him. Your heart is with the world and what it can offer you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't sell out for what's down here, because what's up there in the future ought to be the most important thing in your life, and it ought to be the most important thing in your child's life. And it's not going to be the most important thing in your child's life unless you teach him. I wish I could live my life over. I wish I could go back and live this life and show my children that when I was young, if I had believed this, I would have set a better example before them. All I can do now is tell them I'm sorry. Don't you make the same mistake I made. Don't you wait until you're an old man, because I don't think you're going to have that option. Don't wait until you're an old man, then go back and try to correct what you did. I would to God I'd known this when I was young. And it's not God's fault, it's mine, because I didn't want to listen. I want you to notice what he says in Luke 6:45-46. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. That's talking about spiritual things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Jeremiah says our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things. And a man has his treasure somewhere. Wherever his heart is, that's where the treasure is. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and his children see it. And if a child brings forth good things out of a good heart, changed by God in response to the message, a heart that's turned to God, that before God comes to smite the earth with a curse, then that example before his children is worth everything. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Don't set that example before your children. Don't tell me a child of God can be evil. I'll show you scriptures in the Bible indicate they can, even after they're saved. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Wherever your heart is, there will your treasure be also. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Our church roll is full of that. All church rolls are full of that. That's partially full of my life. I preach and I teach, but I don't always do the things, he says. Should I? Certainly. What am I doing about it? I'm trying to. When I fail, I ask for forgiveness. By his power, pick myself up and continue. I want you to notice what God has to say to parents. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Well, John came, and he and Jesus preached the same message. The message of repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what is that message supposed to do to the hearts of mothers, fathers, and children? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So what's happened? Our children aren't being taught spiritual things. They're being taught physical things. And that's why you have all this ungodliness in the world today. Because the basic human heart, if it is not filled by the Spirit of God, if it is not fed by the Spirit of God, will go astray. I want you to notice what he says in Luke 8:15. Separate yourself from me personally and from your own opinion of me or your own ideas and objections to my thoughts, ideas, opinions, theories, and see if this isn't what God's Word says. With that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Where'd they get that honest and good heart? Jeremiah said they weren't born with it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That heart was changed by the message that John and Jesus preached. It turns a father's heart. It turns a parent's heart. It turns a mother's heart. It turns a child's heart. And when God sees those heart changes, he doesn't pass judgment. He doesn't smite the earth. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Well, where'd they get it if they weren't born with it? Look at there. Having heard. That's past tense. That means that this honest and good heart they didn't have until something happened in the past. Having heard the word. Keep it. The word katiko. That's been God's word I've preached to you this morning. There's nothing personal in it. I'm not preaching at any one of you personally. I don't know how many times I've had people in this church come to me and say, Brother McMurray, you were preaching right at me. And they think I go home and make up these messages personally for you. I give you my word before the Lord. I do not. Have I ever done that? Yeah, when I was a young minister and didn't know better. Not anymore. But you'd be surprised how many of you come to me and you know who you are and you say, Brother McMurray, you preached that right at me. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the state of man's heart. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, katiko, they value it. If you value what you've seen, if you value what you've heard, then you let God turn that heart of yours and you'll start setting a spiritual example before your children. And if your heart has never been turned to receive him as Savior, you'll come seeking him to save you from hell, from eternal damnation. And it will give you an opportunity before your children to set a spiritual example where by letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and responding to that spirit which God gives you at the new birth, your lifestyle, your output, your way before your children can demonstrate there has been a change in your life, and you can direct them to spiritual things and bring forth fruit with patience. You cannot bring forth fruit out of a heart that is directed by evil. You cannot bring fruit out of an unsaved heart. And you cannot bring fruit out of a saved heart that is not following the teachings, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Nor can you as a church member, after you've been saved and then scripturally baptized, can you produce fruit for God in his church unless you're willing to be faithful. Unless you are willing to let the church be the central focus of your life, since it is the body of Christ, and you are willing to pay the price that comes with serving God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, which is best for your children? What's best for my children? What's best for the parents? What's best for the children? To have their hearts turned toward God. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. Who does he use? You, the parents. You, the child. each one of us. And until our hearts are turned, then our children can see it. And if you're a child and your heart is turned, then your parents can't see that it's turned until you demonstrate before them a loyalty to Christ that is based upon your love for spiritual things, not the things of this world. 1 Peter 1, 22-23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 54 years ago, I, frightened 12-year-old boy, knowing only that he was bound for hell without Christ, and desperately seeking salvation, aware that he could not save himself, went to Jesus Christ and trusted him and asked him to save me. By absolute unmerited favor, by the amazing grace of God, not through works of righteousness which I had done or ever have done or ever could do, Jesus Christ saved me by his absolute mercy. He said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." When I knew I was lost, when I knew I did not have Christ living in me, when I knew I was headed for hell, when I wanted a Savior, I realized there was only one. By a simple childlike act of faith, I went to Jesus and trusted him to save me, and he saved me. And he came into my heart, and he came into my life. I deeply regret that it was 11 years before I submitted to scriptural baptism. And I regret even deeplier, more deeply, that from that age until I was 38, as a father raising my children, I fed them, I clothed them, I provided money for them, I loved them. I'm not a man who shows love a lot. I show love in what I do for my children. I did at that time financially and what I could. I did try, but unfortunately my heart was not set on God. I was a saved, born-again believer with scriptural baptism, but my heart was not set on God. I did not teach my children spiritual things. I taught them the very things that I'm showing you. My heart was so set on the things of the world that that was my life. I wanted to succeed. I wanted to have money. I wanted to have the things the world can offer. I did it in ignorance, but it was a willful ignorance. I simply would not listen to what God said. I deeply regret before my children and my family and before you as a church that I set such a poor example as a father. Oh, I didn't cheat on my wife. I was faithful to her. I didn't beat my wife. I wasn't mean to my kids. I loved them. I did the very best I could for them. I mean that with all my heart. But I taught them materialistic things. And as they saw me and they saw me prosper and saw us with a two-story house and two cars and money and things for prestige, I guess maybe that's my witness to them. I'm very much ashamed of it. But from age 38 on, I've tried to make up for it. I've tried to teach you spiritual things. I've tried to learn spiritual things for myself. And I'm trying to get you not to make the same mistake I made and raise your children materialistically. When a man makes a mistake, it's hard to admit, but I did. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I've been born again for 54 years. But it's only after 38 that I finally began to let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I finally realized what a horrible mistake I had made in not teaching my children the importance of being in God's church and not setting the example for them when they were young. I regret that now that I'm an old man, children, when their dad gets old, he's just an old fuddy-duddy and doesn't know much, and they don't listen very well. But I'm not jumping on my kids. I love my children very much. I'm talking to all of you because now I'm 66, and John called the members of that church his children. Some of you are older than I am, but I still look upon you as my children because God called me to pastor you. And I'm trying to stop you from making the same mistake that so many parents make. They don't teach their children spiritual things. Seeing you have purified your souls, this is verse 22. Ye have. This was an action that had already occurred when they were born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Their souls had already been purified by it, and they already had it. Their souls had already been cleansed and washed. in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You know what he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath, God's already decided that's what we were supposed to do. We were saved. Our hearts were cleansed unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfaked. Not fake. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. I wish I had had a heart that had allowed God's Spirit to change it when I was young. Now I know what love is. Now I understand it. I love my children from the depths of my soul. And the things I want for them are the things that the Spirit has promised are waiting for them. And I want the same thing for you. But now I'm just an old man. But you know the power never was in me. As a young man, I had a lot of strength and vigor, and I girded myself and I carried myself wherever I wanted. And I tried to help God a lot. God doesn't need my help. Now I just stretch forth my hands. And I know that God's word is powerful. And I know God's word has changed my heart. And God's word can change your heart. Let's quit being so materialistic. Let's quit teaching our children these materialistic things. Let's start teaching them things that are spiritual. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. We don't know who they are yet, but they're coming. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That's a message of repentance. That's what they're going to prophesy. Don't wait until judgment comes. Start living for Christ now. Start letting him transform that heart he's already saved and sealed into thinking the way he thinks, acting the way he wants it to act, and following the one who saved and sealed it. I don't know what the need is in your life. Yeah, I do. You know, I say that all the time. I bet I've said that 1,000 times since I've been here. I say, I don't know what the need is in your life. You know, I've been lying all this time, and it suddenly hit me. I know what the need is in your life. It's repentance. That's the need in my life, too. Repentance. It's daily, continual repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I do know what the need is in your life. Same thing needed in my life. A continual attitude of being willing to repent and to let God have his way in your heart and in your life. That's what we all need. Well, whatever effect this has had on your heart this morning, only God knows and only you know. But when this invitation is given, if you feel God wants you to come forward, you just come forward and God will take care of all the rest. So I think, yes, we're headed for judgment. Since I believe with all my heart that we're headed for judgment, while I cannot tell you the day, the week, the month, or the year, I think it's imperative that in these last days we stand for the truth and hold fast to the truth no matter what the price we have to pay. The revelation overcomer is a church member who overcomes by the power of the Spirit, who is now holding back the judgment on this present earth. The only reason this earth has not been judged is because of the holding power of the Holy Spirit, who has been holding back that judgment, because there have been some hearts that have received the message and still are. But we are rapidly approaching a time when no one, or a minute handful only, will receive the message of repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This morning I talked about Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, lest the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. For 2,000 years, sufficient hearts in God's estimation have been turned and changed that he has not smitten the earth with a curse. That curse is very aptly described as to what it will be like when it occurs by the same writer in the same chapter, by the same Holy Spirit in verse 1. Malachi 4:1, he says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. I don't think anyone can grasp the horror and the terror that's going to come on this earth when God begins to punish and judge this earth for her sins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's going to be a holocaust, and the Bible says there will never be a time like it again. There never has been a time like it. It's going to be a smiting of the earth like has never occurred before. The only thing that has held us back all these years has been the Holy Spirit of God and the fact that some hearts have still been turning and conversions have still been made and the truth has still been preached in His churches and the Holy Spirit has still been able to find a habitation and a dwelling place to reside in some churches. But the number of those churches is rapidly diminishing because of a heresy that was introduced into true religion back in the last century. Verse 16 in Luke 1, 16 and 17. There is no question that for those who would receive it, John the Baptist preached in the spirit of Elijah and in the power of Elijah. He was not Elijah reincarnated. He was not Elijah. But he was a man in whom the same spirit that indwelt Elijah used him and empowered him to preach. He is also the man that prepared the material for the first New Testament church. And that was not by accident. Every one of those men that followed him initially, including Judas Iscariot, were all baptized by John the Baptist. And Jesus said this. He said, "You have not chosen me. I have chosen you." And John was the one who preached the message that God's Spirit used to turn their hearts. And their hearts all turned except that of Judas Iscariot. I want you to notice what it says concerning the message of John the Baptist. In Luke 1, 16 and 17, to those who would receive it, he was Elijah the prophet. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord, their God. Who were those many? Well, there were about 120 of them at Pentecost that had been a church in Jesus' earthly ministry, and the power of God's Spirit came down and empowered them to carry out the Great Commission at that time. There were many others in Israel who also received John's message and were saved. But not all of them united with the church. And not all of them followed Jesus. And not all of them had the desire to be in the place, in that special place where God's Spirit dwelt in a very special way. It was such as then as it is now. But he did turn many hearts of the children of Israel to their God. Verse 17. And he shall go forth before him. John the Baptist went forth before Christ in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Jesus organized that local New Testament church. He prepared it himself from the material that John had previously prepared. He called it out, and he taught it for more than 3 years because he knew that at Pentecost, he would not leave them comfortless. He would come to them. And he knew the Comforter, the Paracletos, the twin, one likened to him, would come down and immerse the whole New Testament church. And that church, out of that church, and all those other churches that would come out of it, each one local, visible, autonomous, the Spirit of God could work in a lost and dying world. But we've changed that. Man thinks there's a better way. So he came up with the universal invisible church heresy, which is now rampant. And very few people understand what the church is, and very few people care. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John prepared them with a message. The Spirit prepared them because they believed the message that God's Spirit preached through John in the spirit of Elijah. And then Jesus taught them and trained them and made them into a unit, a local group, in which the Spirit of God dwelt with all the power of Christ. After he had come back at Pentecost. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the local church concept is out the window. And many of our preachers now are saying, "Oh yeah, it's local and it's visible, but it's also universal and invisible." And that is a blasphemous, ungodly lie, and people do not understand what tremendous harm it has done and is doing to our work. They say, "What difference does it make?" Well, I hope tonight I can make the point. I hope God will give me the power and the ability by His Spirit to make the point, to show you from God's Word what it's doing to our work, so that it won't happen here, and it won't happen in your hearts, and we won't let the light in this church to this community be put out, because the devil has no greater desire than to put out the light that's in this church and to cause the people in it to turn from him
so that the Holy Spirit will not have a place to indwell in this community. And that's the way the light is put out in a community, when the light of truth is put out in a church. A lot of people spent a lot of time trying to put this church here, and God's Holy Spirit went to a great effort so a church could be built here in this community. And this church is the light of the community because it is preaching and teaching the truth from the Word of God. Matthew 3:1-2. This was the message of John. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then in Matthew 4:12-17, we're told that Jesus preached the same message. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's the same message. It means turn your heart to God. The man who first preached it 6 months before Jesus prepared the material from which Jesus, who preached the same message, would call it out and teach it. And they followed Jesus. And Jesus meant for that church to preach and teach things so that other locals